Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, not only did the John Kerry State Department throw Israel under the bus with that vote at the UN last week at which the United States abstained, but we're now finding out that there is absolute collusion between the Obama administration and ISIS, and that we have provided ISIS material support. What am I talking about? Well, you're not going to want to miss our discussion of this in segment one of today's program. And then in segment two, you're not going to believe the lengths to which Trump's opponents are willing to go to keep him from being a success. We're going to be talking about some of the things that are being said, some things that are being done to keep the president-elect from succeeding. And that'll be in segment two. And then in segment three, we're going to be discussing something historic that took place yesterday in Washington, D.C. You may have seen a little bit about this on the news, but we're going to go into some of the hard numbers with what took place on November 8th and is continuing in our nation's capital. That's going to profoundly, and we believe positively, affect the United States of America, both domestically and foreign policy-wise in the days ahead. Something historic is going on in our nation's capital. And then if we have time in segment four, I'm sure you've seen something about this if you're following the news, but Fox News is watching one of its prime anchors depart to go to NBC. What is going on behind all of that? Is this merely a monetary move, or is there something else going on? And if time permits, we're going to get into all of that. But this is Stand in the Gap Today. This is Dave Kistler along with Gary Dahl. Sam Rohr is away today, but we'll be back tomorrow. Gary, I want to go into this story that broke yesterday. Evidently, in the early part of September, there was a conversation at the UN that John Kerry had with a number of Middle Eastern Islamic leaders. And in that conversation, specifically with Syrian opposition group leaders, John Kerry made some statements that are absolutely beyond troubling, indicating that his administration, the Obama administration, believed that allowing the Islamic State to grow would serve the White House's objective of ousting Syrian President Bashar Assad. The recording of this about 40-minute conversation, and by the way, I did listen to a significant portion of that conversation yesterday afternoon, but the recording was actually leaked to the New York Times, and the Times reported on it on September 30 of last year, just a couple of months ago. But this week, there were portions of that 40-minute conversation that went ignored back in September that have now come to light, and those portions reveal that regime change was Obama's only objective in Syria. In other words, all he wanted was Bashar al-Assad removed from power. That's not a surprise necessarily, because Obama said that many, many times. But the administration was willing to let ISIS grow in hopes that ISIS would carry out the task of deposing Assad. And we even provided arms to the jihadist army and their allies. In this 40-minute interview or this 40-minute conversation, Kerry admits that the U.S. did not calculate that Assad would turn to Russia for help. And so there's a lot of troubling things, Gary, in this conversation. I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to it or not, but I want to tell you this, friends. Within a month of the September 11 attack in 2012 in Benghazi, we received, at least I did, Gary did, we received evidence from a friend of ours that U.S. Ambassador Christopher Stevens was involved in funneling weapons from Benghazi to support al-Qaeda affiliated militias, some of which ultimately morphed into ISIS. We were funneling weapons to them to help try to bring down the Assad regime, effectively arming the Sunni jihadists again that became ISIS. So, Gary, here's what's been going on. Here is the bottom line. At the very tail end of Obama's second term, at the very end of his 8 years in office, it is becoming crystal clear that he refused to do anything substantive to deal with ISIS, and he did that on purpose. He armed them, and the entire time he has lied to the American people with respect to what he wanted to do about ISIS. Now, Gary, I want to go to you, and I want to ask you a question. Why has Obama wanted ISIS in Syria? Why did Hillary Clinton lie about the real reason for the attack in Benghazi? What in the world has been going on here? And I know I'm throwing a lot of questions at you, but bottom line is this: what does this again say about where our president, current President Obama, where did his loyalties lie?
Well, Dave, that's a very interesting and I think a significant question or a series of questions that you've asked. And my answer to that is, well, maybe we really don't know why. But allow me to throw out a couple of speculations. And as I throw them out, maybe you can respond. Actually, I've got five of them, five speculations to throw out here in answering your questions. Number one, take a look at President Obama's Islamic sympathy. That has been seen in so many, many ways. I'm not so sure that he really wants to see ISIS or his JV team destroyed. Keep in mind, David, that right after he was elected, you and I were in Washington, D.C., and we were talking to some acrostic Christians. Remember that discussion?
Gary, I remember that as vividly as if it were yesterday.
And they said, you know, in reference to us, to Obama, he is a Muslim. We know it. And then shortly thereafter, you and I were over in Kenya, and we had the opportunity to talk to some folks over there who really believed in their heart of hearts that Barack Obama was Muslim. You can recall those discussions.
Yes,
and I think that his Islamic sympathy is one of the reasons why he has not only allowed ISIS to continue, but has armed them and has lied about them. Another thought is that I think that he has a lack of commitment to America's Christian founding. You know, he is the one who said that the United States of America is not a Christian nation. I believe that in the depth of his heart, he would like to see a stronger Islamic nation in America rather than a Christian nation. He also has what I call an alleged desire to see Islam grow, not only in the United States of America and around the world. He would like to see a more Islamic-controlled Middle East. And not only that, I think this whole thing, the way that he approached ISIS there with Syria and Assad, plays into him wanting to diminish America as a world power in the world scene. These are just some thoughts I throw out to you in reference to your question. Maybe you can deal with them in the 30 seconds we have left. I don't know.
Well, Gary, if you are even remotely correct, and I believe you are, I believe you are very correct in your assessment there. In fact, I think that's a very astute assessment. But if you are right, then Gary, that casts into serious doubt the loyalties, the commitment to the United States of America on the part of Barack Obama. And I want to remind our listeners that the United States, under Barack Obama's direction and leadership, was involved in the deposing of Hosni Mubarak in Egypt. Mubarak was a secular Muslim. We've talked about this before on the program. Filling the void, at least temporarily, in Egypt until the people there had enough and threw off the yoke of the Muslim Brotherhood elements in Egypt. But filling the void left by Mubarak's departure was the Muslim Brotherhood. Same thing happened in Libya with Gaddafi. We assisted in trying to get him out. And the only thing that Obama's not been successful in doing is getting the secularist that is Bashar al-Assad out in Syria so the Muslim Brotherhood could fill the void there. So, Gary, serious problems and questions about our current president. When we come back, the lengths to which Trump's opponents are willing to go, you're going to be surprised after the break.
Live, love, learn, and leave a legacy. These are great words, but if you want to leave a legacy to your children and grandchildren these days, it's going to take some careful planning. And that's where we come in. We're the Life Financial Group, advisors you can trust. We're Christian, families based upon the Bible, so that we can say we truly understand your values. In fact, for nearly 40 years, folks of all ages have counted on us to care for and grow their financial resources. Through prayer, prudent investment, and pleasant, knowledgeable people, we can help you navigate your investments so you feel secure. We're glad to offer morally clean investment options that won't sear your conscience or make you anxious. We're also comfortable talking about increasing the impact of your charitable giving. How do we make a difference? So learn how you can have peace of mind by calling us today at 610-385-4500. That's 610-385-4500. Or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC. Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Your child deserves the best. Shouldn't that include an exceptional education? PA Leadership Charter School is a kindergarten through 12th grade online public school serving students across Pennsylvania. Voted number one cyber school in PA, PA Leadership Charter School provides a flexible but structured approach to education. Visit PALCS.org or call 1-877-725-2785 to learn more. That's PALCS.org. PA Leadership Charter School is training tomorrow's leaders today.
Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God and nature. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Called the father of American medicine, he signed the Declaration, was Surgeon General of the Continental Army, and was on staff at the Pennsylvania Hospital, where he opened the first free medical clinic. His name was Benjamin Rush, and he was born this day, January 4th, 1745. Rush also founded a Bible society, a Sunday school union, and a society for the abolition of slavery. Dr. Benjamin Rush stated, "The only foundation for education in a republic is religion. Without this, there can be no virtue, and without virtue, there can be no liberty. And liberty is the object of all republican governments."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Without God, liberty will not last. A quote from Thomas Jefferson.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, Rosie O'Donnell is at it again. This past Sunday, she tweeted that President-elect Trump is, quote, mentally unstable, and that America, quote, has less than 3 weeks to stop him, end quote. Of course, this is not the first time, second time, or third time that the comedian has attacked Donald Trump. She's previously called him, among other things, the worst representation of what the United States is or could be. And friends, if you have been following the ongoing saga that has been the controversy between Donald Trump and Rosie O'Donnell, you know that their controversy goes back well over a decade, all the way back to 2006, when O'Donnell publicly criticized Donald Trump for refusing to fire disgraced beauty queen Tara Conner. And I don't have time to go into all of the circumstances surrounding that, but that's when this feud really began. But really, the feud boiled over during the presidential campaign when their disagreements took center stage during one of the debates hosted by Fox News. And you will remember Megyn Kelly asked Donald Trump about his derogatory language and insulting women, and Trump fired back only Rosie O'Donnell. Well, things have only gone down the hill between O'Donnell and Trump since then. But Gary, what happened on Sunday is troubling and also hypocritical. And that's the point I want to make here, and I want to talk with you a little bit about. When Rosie O'Donnell said that America or we, I can't remember the pronoun she used or what the noun was that she used, but basically, in essence, she said, we have, quote, less than 3 weeks to stop him. Now, here's the problem with that, Gary. There is no legal way for Donald Trump to be stopped from becoming the next president of the United States of America. He has the Electoral College vote. There were attempts to try to prevent him from becoming president by getting Electoral College members to shift their vote. That, of course, was very unsuccessful. He is going to be, unless something very nefarious happens, he's going to be the next president of the United States of America. This has prompted, this comment by Rosie O'Donnell has prompted some to say that what she did was a veiled threat, a suggestion to some maybe unstable entity out there, you need to do something and do something now to prevent him from becoming president by taking a shot at him, though she did not actually say that. I want that to be very clear. Some are suggesting, though, that maybe that was a veiled suggestion on her part that somebody do that. Now, Gary, here's the problem. Under the United States Code, threatening of a president of the United States of America is a Class E felony, punishable by up to 5 years in prison. In fact, threatening any other official in government is at least a Class C or Class D felony, punishable by time in jail as well. And there are two components to determine whether a threat has been made against either a president or an elected official. And here are the two critical components. Number one, there must be a communication concerning the threat and what Rosie O'Donnell said, either in her tweet or in her comment. We've got 3 weeks to stop him. Her phrase there would meet that first requirement if this was a veiled threat. It was communicated. And then number two, the threat must be a promise or an indication that there is going to be injury or harm to the person. Now, of course, she did not use any language that indicated, you know, that she wanted harm, but stop him. What does that mean when there is no legal means for him to be prevented from becoming the next president? Now, Gary, I want to go to you. And here's the point I'm getting at. Not only number one is what she did, I think, a very, very inappropriate thing, perhaps even a dangerous thing for her to say. But do you see the hypocrisy here, Gary? We are living in a world where the left has critiqued, analyzed, tried to parse every statement coming from those of us on the right, especially Christian conservatives. They've been all over Donald Trump's extreme vetting comment. You know, what does he mean by that? What's he talking about? You'll remember the Joe Wilson comment that got him in a lot of hot water when he used the term legitimate rape. And of course, if you listen to his entire comment, you know what he was referring to. Maybe not the wisest choice of words, but he was not saying that there was not, you know, inappropriate activity or a rape that occurred when a woman was taken advantage of. But they parsed that. Man, they went after him. They tried to end his political career over the comment. And then, Gary, if you'll remember back in 2012, when our state of North Carolina was debating the passage of our marriage amendment, there was a pastor not far from Hickory, North Carolina, who made this statement, and he was trying to emphasize that homosexuality and the homosexual lifestyle and the homosexual relationship is incapable of producing children. What he said was this: if we placed all homosexuals within a fenced area that die off because they can't reproduce, and the point was, they can't reproduce. But the media jumped all over that and said he was recommending that we, you know, we incarcerate homosexuals, put them in a fenced in area, keep them there, which was not what he was saying. So, Gary, my point is this: if this had been a conservative saying we've got 3 weeks to stop President Obama, the media would have been all over it, accusing the person who said that of issuing a threat against the president. With when it comes to Rosie O'Donnell, crickets. There's nothing been said by most of the media. What do you think?
Well, first of all, Rosie O'Donnell, let's go on to the next segment. You know, talking about her saying that Donald Trump is mentally unstable, what is she? I mean, just look at her life and just look at what she's done down through the years. If anybody would write the commentary and what it means to be emotionally unstable, I think it ought to be Rosie O'Donnell, because she personifies it. But Dave, you know, we've got a situation today that really is a concern to you and to me, I know, and it should be a concern to all of the people in America today. First of all, yes, as it relates to Rosie O'Donnell, she should be under investigation, because what she actually said here, that we have less than 3 weeks to stop him, we really don't know what she means. And all that it would take is to have somebody to pick up on that and maybe want to fire a shot at President-elect Trump. We don't want that to happen. That should not happen. But the way some of these left-wing people think, you know, David, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes with them. And that should cause every one of us across this nation to be concerned. We need to pray for the protection of President-elect Donald Trump, Mike Pence, and the whole team there. But the other thing that concerns me, Dave, is that we have a real crisis on our hands when we've allowed the Hollywood actors to become so-called credible political pundits. They are nothing but actors in the first place. They know how to act. And, you know, what kind of credibility do they have as it relates to understanding the political scene, what's going on in America? I think that most of them have very, very little credibility as it relates to speaking from the position of authority anyway. And yet we have a whole nation that for some reason or another likes to hear what the Rosie O'Donnells and others say. I think it concerns me greatly that these kind of people have such a voice as they have out there. You know, along with what Rosie O'Donnell has said, you have seen those ads on television in the past week or so that come from Hollywood, where they're calling on Congress. They demand Congress to stop Donald Trump. This is ridiculous. This is not what this Democratic Republic is all about. We have a president. We need to get behind him. And indeed, whether you are left or right, he is the president of the people, and he must be supported as the president of the people. One other thing I want to throw out as I'm talking here. I heard a report yesterday whereby the left are saying, you know, they're criticizing Donald Trump for bringing on a conservative, philosophically conservative cabinet. Well, David, that's what the people elected him to do. Let's enough alone. Let's go forward with this thing. Rosie O'Donnell, well, no credibility in that person at all.
Well, Gary, here's the point. One other point I want to make. You know as well as I do that there have been hate laws, laws against hate speech enacted across the United States of America that say basically this. If you as a preacher stand up in the pulpit, if I stand up in the pulpit and I make a statement that someone sitting in the congregation takes, and then they leave that service and they go out and they perpetrate or commit crime against a homosexual, then ultimately that can be traced back to you or to me. And there are those on the left that want to connect the preacher in the pulpit as being the motivation for someone in the pew going out and perpetrating a hate crime. Well, if that's what they want to do and they want to play the game that way, should not what Rosie O'Donnell said also be treated the same way if someone went out and attempted to commit some act of murder or some act of harm on Donald Trump? Do you see where I'm going here? The hypocrisy, Gary, is glaring.
Well, the hypocrisy is glaring, and that's what I say. I think that she should be under investigation from the Secret Service and other groups because, you know, what she is doing, she is playing the hypocritic card, as it were. But the left is allowed more space to operate than those of us who are on the right side of the issues, Dave. And that's what we are seeing here with Rosie O'Donnell. It's a great concern to me.
Well, it is, and I think it should be. And again, I want to make it crystal clear. We're not about hating anyone. We don't hate anyone here at Stand in the Gap Today, the American Pastors Network. It's not about that at all. All we're trying to do is point out and try to underscore the hypocrisy that, and friends, it needs to stop. And Gary, I'm in complete agreement with you. Donald Trump is the next president of the United States of America. These kind of comments need to stop. They need to get behind the president, at least give him a chance if they disagree with him philosophically. Give him a chance to succeed, like those of us who disagreed philosophically with Barack Obama, prayed for his success, wanted to see him succeed. Became very obvious to us early on that his philosophy and his policies were not going to succeed. So give Donald Trump a chance as well. When we come back, you're going to be surprised at what took place, historic thing in Washington, D.C. yesterday. Don't miss it after this brief timeout.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. After meeting with President Obama and other members of his party, the top Senate Democrat, Charles Schumer, says Republicans are stuck between a rock and a hard place with Obamacare.
For 5 years now, they have had nothing to put in its place.
House Speaker Paul Ryan, after meeting with Vice President-elect Mike Pence and other congressional Republicans.
We need to make sure that there is a stable transition to a truly patient-centered system.
So far, Republicans have not agreed on a replacement plan. Acting as his own attorney, Dylan Roof delivers opening statements at his Charleston church shooting trial's penalty phase.
Roof said, quote, "There is nothing wrong with me psychologically." The prosecution reminded jurors of Roof's racist motives and lack of remorse in the 2015 shooting at Emmanuel AME Church that left 9 parishioners dead.
Fox's Jonathan Seri, Roof could get the death penalty. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom, shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. A recent article on the website BuzzFeed says that Pennsylvania is in the crosshairs of LGBT special interest groups from out of state who are seeking to impose a statewide bill that would undermine personal privacy and threaten religious liberty. Now, you might remember BuzzFeed as the site that went after Chip and Joanna Gaines. They're the Christian couple that has a home improvement show on HGTV. And they were attacked because of their faith and the Bible-believing church that they attend. In my view, there's a great deal about the LGBT agenda that seeks to undermine religious freedom and attack those that hold to a biblical view of marriage. We at the Pennsylvania Family Institute pledge to you that we will continue to fight in 2017 on your behalf and with your help to defend privacy, religious liberty, and marriage as the union of one man and one woman. If you'd like to help us do so, sign up at our website at pafamily.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Yesterday, the 115th Congress was sworn in on Capitol Hill in a formal ceremony that lasted most of the afternoon. In fact, it was a mass swearing in. In other words, everybody that is in the new Congress raises their hand and they're sworn in at one time. And by the way, that is a tradition that actually began in 1929, the mass swearing in. That commenced at 1 o'clock and then continued into the afternoon with pictures being taken in the old Senate chamber around 3 p.m. So all of this formality of swearing everyone in was pretty much an all afternoon event. The new Congress is set to take office in January, but it will be, friends, the most racially diverse in U.S. history. Record numbers of Hispanics, African Americans, Asian Americans, and women of color will serve in the next legislative session. But here's the thing that is most amazing at all, and the part that is absolutely additionally historic, and that is most members of the United States Congress describe themselves as Christian. And that is despite the declining number of adults in America who nationwide identify as Christian. And of course, all of this that I'm sharing with you comes from Pew Research Center. And the study finds that 91% of the 115th Congress call themselves Christian. Now, let me pause here and make something very, very clear. Just because someone calls themselves a Christian does not mean that they are a born-again, Bible-believing, blood-washed, born-again believer in Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that necessarily, but it is still significant, I believe, Gary, that 91% of those that will serve us in this next Congress call themselves Christian. According to Pew Research, that is more people identifying as Christian in Congress than in the 1960s when it was at its highest point. However, what we're hearing, when I was up on the Hill about a month and a half ago, and spoke there in the Capitol building for the Wednesday night church service, what I was told was this: there are more Bible-believing, genuinely born-again Christians in Congress, more were elected on November 8th than any time in the history of the United States other than the founding era. Now, that I find to believe to be very, very significant. Gary, I want to ask you a question. With these numbers that I'm throwing out and have given, 91% of our lawmakers say they're Christian, they identify as Christian. From the inside, from those that are genuinely born again, we're hearing that there are more genuinely born again believers there than any time other than the founding era. How expectant and encouraged should those of us in the Christian community be about this? And then I'd love to get your take on Proverbs 29:2, which says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. Should this not be a time of intense rejoicing on the part of God's church?
Well, David, should. And, you know, one of the things that encourages me, as you stated there, that there appears to be more people in Congress today claiming to be Christian than any other time in recent history, particularly since the time of our founders. What encourages me about that, David, is if you've noticed the trend, that has been what has been stated at least over the last two or three congressional election cycles. I was at one of those Wednesday night prayer meetings several years ago. It was either after the last cycle or the one before that. I don't recall right now. And it was brought up at that particular point that there are more people in Congress who claim to be Christian than, you know, in many, 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 many years. And again, that is encouraging. Now, I go back to saying that there are three types of Christians today, always have been. There are those who are traditional Christians because of the fact that their family and their heritage is Christianity or Christian. There are those who are culturally Christians in the sense that they are Christian as opposed to being Muslim or Jewish or whatever the case may be. And then there are those who are biblical Christians. That is, they've received the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And so we need to put that, I think, into the perspective as well. But having said all of that, and having observed how that it seems like with each election cycle, there have been more and more Christians one way, shape, or form in Congress, it appears to me, Dave, is that the Lord is giving the United States of America another chance. You know, you take into consideration the story of the barren fig tree in the New Testament scriptures, Luke chapter 13, I believe it is. You know, that fig tree could have been destroyed because it was not bearing forth fruit, as you recall. And the husbandman came along and basically said, you know, what we need to do is to give it another year, give it another chance. We will dig around it, we'll cultivate it, we'll fertilize it, and to see what's going to happen. And if the tree bears fruit, well, good. If not, then it will be destroyed. And David, I've got to believe that God has a purpose for the United States of America in the world today. We have wavered in the last years. But I see that God may be raising up a team of people who, whether traditionally, culturally, or biblically based Christians, are friends of the gospel, are friends of biblical truth, have an understanding, somewhat of an understanding, of what the Word of God says about morality, about truth, about government. And I think that God may be raising up a group of people to lead this nation back to biblical truth. Now, Dave, you talk about Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 2, where it says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. I think that we are seeing right now more and more righteous people being brought back into authority in Washington, D.C., which is why you and others have said that Washington, D.C. seems to be more of a light today than what it has the last 8 years. We've talked about this on the program, that 8 years ago when we were in Washington, it just seemed to be so dark. Why? Because of the influence of unrighteousness. And we've seen that over the last 8 years. Now it appears to be a greater influence of righteousness, righteous people, righteous philosophy, righteous thought. And that certainly ought to cause the people of God to rejoice. On the other hand, we must also pray that God will give wisdom and strength to those who are righteous and in authority to lead this nation according to biblical truth. And as I said in the last segment, we must pray for the protection of every one of those individuals who want to bring the United States of America back to biblical truth.
Gary, I want to kind of hone in on that word righteous in Proverbs 29:2. In fact, the word literally means just. When the just are in authority, and that is the same word that is used in 2 Samuel 23:3, a verse that we have referenced on a number of occasions on this program, when the righteous are in authority, Proverbs 29:2, 2 Samuel 23:3, he that would rule over men must be just. There the word is righteous, Proverbs 29:2, the word just in 2 Samuel 23:3, it's the same Hebrew term. It means someone who has a strong sense of what is right and what is wrong. And though I am thrilled, Gary, I am overjoyed that there are more genuine Bible-believing born-again Christians in Congress than any time other than the founding era. Though that thrills me, Gary, what God ultimately in his word says that he blesses are those that want to govern with a strong understanding of and commitment to what is right and what is wrong. They want right to be praised and rewarded. They want wrong to be punished and demeaned. So if we have more people who have a conscience of what is right and wrong, and they're committed to doing what's right for the country before a God to whom they will believe they will one day give account, then Gary, that is the thing that brings blessing on a nation. That's why I'm trying to say and say as much as I can in every church where I'm speaking. That's why I'm trying to communicate this as much as is humanly possible when we're talking about these issues on the radio program. We have reason to be excited because God's blessing rests on the nation, on the people that are in rulership that are committed to what's right. Gary, you also said something else that I want to mention before we have to go to the end of the break here, and that is this. We need to pray for these people. We need to come alongside these folks and encourage them to stand for what is right, to vote what is right, to do what is right. Because, Gary, you know as well as I do, once you get to Washington, D.C., the pressure that is on you is absolutely enormous, and the pressure is not to do what you ran on, not to do what you know in your heart of hearts is right, but to do what is politically expedient and politically convenient. This time around, those that we have sent up there dare not do that.
Well, that's absolutely true, and that's why we need to pray. And I would say that spiritual attack is already on them, David. And, you know, you mentioned 2 Samuel 23:3. The reason why those folks are ruling in a just manner, as that text says, is because they rule in the fear of God. They respect God. They recognize the greatness of God. They know what God expects, how God operates, and who God is. And we just need to pray that more and more people will rule from that particular perspective. And if more people do rule from that perspective, then God will bless America. You know that song that we sing, God Bless America, is really a prayer. And many of us have been praying that prayer for a long time. And it appears to me, Dave, is that God is laying the foundation to bring blessing back into this nation. Just look how Donald Trump is going to change our attitude, the nation's attitude towards Israel. That itself is bringing God back into the picture, is it not?
Gary, it is indeed, and you brought a smile to my face when you said that, because Genesis 12:3 is still in the Bible. God blesses those that bless Israel. And so every time Donald Trump says what he says, like he did yesterday, I don't want to start a war with God, so I'm going to stand behind Israel. That ought to bring a smile to anyone who is a Bible-believing Christian and to anyone who loves the United States. Well, friends, when we come back, Fox is losing, Fox News, that is losing one of their shining stars. The question is, why are they losing her? What is the motivation? We're going to talk about that when we get back.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Today, people are living longer than their forebears. Right now, more than 1 million Americans are alive past age 100. That means you need to work toward having financial resources that can give you independence into your golden years. But weighing different investment options may make you feel overwhelmed. You need someone, a trusted friend, who can come alongside and help you keep the complex simple. That's where the Life Financial Group comes in. For nearly 40 years, the Life Financial Group has helped thousands of families, not only here in Pennsylvania, but nationwide, become even better financial stewards of God's blessings. Managing your investments may feel challenging, but by using a complete financial stewardship approach, you too can gain confidence and peace of mind that your wealth is protected and that you maintain your financial independence. With morally clean investment options, we can help you reach your goals while honoring your convictions. Call us at the Life Financial Group today at 610-385-4500 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Up next, Dr. Carol Swain with 2 minutes to think about it. From high school dropout and teenage mother to esteemed Vanderbilt University political science and law professor, Carol examines the religious significance of today's most pressing issues and courageously exposes the cultural forces that threaten our cherished values and principles.
Hello, folks. It's time to return to politics. Since the presidential election, we've had unprecedented levels of opposition to the election of President-elect Donald J. Trump. The day after the election, I wrote a blog describing the strong impression I had that our nation was teetering on the edge of a precipice. I warned of difficult times ahead related to the Marxist socialist agenda that sees itself threatened by the election of Mr. Trump and the empowerment of people who hold traditional Judeo-Christian values. We are witnessing an uprising of people who would like to destroy our political system and our way of life. Instead of the orderly transition of power, we see endless protests and a strategy of creating chaos at home and abroad. Instead of accepting the president-elect and admitting to mistakes, Democrats blame Russia, white nationalists, and apathetic voters for the well-deserved trouncing that Hillary Clinton received. Instead of facilitating the transition of power, President Obama has attacked Russia over alleged cyber hacking, and he has betrayed Israel. The latter is especially troubling because Israel has been our most important ally in the Middle East. Those of us who reject replacement theology, the belief that the church replaced Israel in prophecy, believe God blesses nations who bless Israel, and he curses its enemies. What can we do? We can continue to pray without ceasing.
Learn more about Dr. Carol Swain at BeThePeopleTV.com, CarolMSwain.net, and on Facebook at Professor Carol M. Swain, Ph.D.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, Fox News Network yesterday announced that Megyn Kelly, One of their shining stars will be giving up her primetime role at Fox for a multi-year deal that includes several roles at NBC. Evidently, friends, she's going to launch a daytime program as well as a Sunday evening news magazine show and be part of the network's coverage of major political and breaking news events. Rupert Murdoch, who is the executive chairman of 21st Century's Fox, said in a following statement, quote, "We thank Megyn Kelly for her 12 years of contributions to Fox News. We hope she enjoys tremendous success in her career and wish her and her family the best." In a Facebook post, Megyn said, quote, "While I will greatly miss my colleagues at Fox, I'm delighted to be joining the NBC News family and taking on a new challenge. I remain deeply committed and deeply grateful to Fox News, to Rupert, to James Murdoch, and especially to all the FNC viewers who have taught me so much about what really matters." And by the way, friends, just so you know, Kelly is the second most watched anchor on Fox News Channel, second only to Bill O'Reilly. Now, the reason she's leaving has been much debated over the last 48 hours, or last actually 24 hours. She's reportedly was offered by Fox $20 million. She was evidently being paid around $15 million, so about a $5 million increase in her annual salary to stay at Fox News. But she decided to leave Fox and go to NBC. Now, Gary, let me just mention this. Some are saying she's doing it because she wants a new challenge. That may be true. Some are saying she's doing it because you know, NBC is offering her maybe a little more money than Fox was willing to offer her. That's not been confirmed. But I heard Megyn say this, and I think it was actually something she posted on a tweet or in an interview that she did. She said, "I've got three children." And she said, "Normally my program airs at night, and by the time I get home, my kids are already asleep, and I'm not getting to spend the time with them that I would like." And she is saying herself, evidently, that is a huge factor in why she is changing. Gary, let me ask you this. I'm not necessarily a huge Megyn Kelly fan. When she first came on Fox, I was a little more of a fan. I thought she was incredibly bright, incredibly articulate. But my wife says it this way. She's become somewhat full of herself over the last year or two as her star has risen. So I'm not necessarily a fan of hers. I think there is an arrogant side to her. She's certainly no conservative. However, if her motivation for leaving an incredibly lucrative, highly successful position at Fox is motivated by a desire to spend more time with her three children and make sure she's at home to be able to do things with them and tell them good night at night, put them to bed. Gary, that's an incredibly good motivation, isn't it?
Well, it is, if that's the motivation. Of course, Dave, I think we've selected the wrong vocation here. You know, $20 million to talk an hour a day, not bad, is it?
Not bad at all. We're in the
actually, you know, before I surrendered to the ministry, I wanted to go into broadcasting. Maybe, no. I'm glad to be where God put me. But let me say this, that I'm not a fan at all of Megyn Kelly. Just, I'll say it. I'm glad she's gone. I will say that on our national program. I'm glad she's gone. If she actually is stepping down from Fox to go to NBC to spend more time with her children, I give her accolades for that. And I say, good for you, Megyn. And that's good. We really do not know what she's going to be doing there. We've been told it's some sort of a talk show daily. She might be doing something on the weekend with a Sunday night news magazine. Somebody even said she may become a part of the Today program. I do not know. I also heard a report earlier today that said that NBC is giving her maybe somewhere between $8 to $10 million at NBC. Now, that's just a rumor, but that's a big drop off from the $20 million that she would have gotten at Fox. I do not know why she's leaving. It does not bother me that she's leaving. I'm glad that she's leaving because, as you said, she's not a conservative. She was filled with herself in so many, many ways. And I just pray that they'll be able to put somebody in that particular slot who really has a good, solid, strong, biblically based conservative philosophy.
Well, Gary, I agree with you. There's no love lost on my part that she's leaving Fox. I think she was ultimately going to be more of a detriment there than maybe a help because she has become so full of herself. But, you know, if she is taking a pay cut, if that turns out to be true by going to NBC, then, Gary, there has to be a deeper motivation for her to do that, and her family may be that. I will also say this. Typically, daytime television is the graveyard of a lot of journalists. Other people have tried going from a successful nighttime position to a daytime position, and they've not done well by doing that. Megan may be signing her own career death warrant, so to speak, by doing this. I'm not wishing that necessarily on her at all. That's not my point. But anyway, it is interesting, and as we learn more about this, we'll talk about it. Gary, I want to go to one other thing very, very quickly. I want to get it out there, and as we know more about it, we'll talk about it. But evidently yesterday, part of this UN deal, this vote that was held at the UN that the United States abstained from, also had something attached to it. There was evidently about $138,000 plus that was designated to form a database of companies that do business in the West Bank. In other words, companies that do business with Israel in the West Bank. And some are saying that this is an attempt on the part of the UN to blackmail Israel further, blackmail companies that do business with the nation of Israel. And again, if that is the case, and we're trying to find out more about it, the United States has said nothing about that. So, Gary, it would look like we are further going to knife our friend Israel in the back, at least Obama is, as he departs the White House. That, to me, is deeply, deeply troubling. And I want you to do this, Gary, because I am so burdened by what Obama may do in the remaining 18 days of his presidency, 17 days of his presidency. That could be incredibly damaging. We have been going to the Lord in prayer at the conclusion of every program now for several months. And Gary, I want you to take us to the throne room of grace, and I want you to pray specifically about what we're hearing about what's coming out of the UN, that God will stop this stuff in its tracks, and God will give a backbone of steel to our president-elect, soon-to-be President Donald Trump, that he will not just verbalize support for Israel, but he will stand unequivocally behind them and do whatever he can to reverse these horrific decisions that evidently Barack Obama's making.
Okay, Dave, I'd be glad to. Let's go to prayer. Father in heaven, as we come to you today, we thank you once again that we can come under your throne of grace and know that there is where we can receive strength and help in the time of need. Father, we understand what your word tells us about the nation of Israel. We also know that there will always be those who will do what they can to destroy that nation, whether they be somebody in the Middle East or somebody here in the Western world. Father, this blacklist that came out yesterday is very concerning to us. And as Brother Davis said, it is our prayer, it is my prayer, as we pray across the nation today, that you will stop anything from taking place that will hinder our relationship, the United States relationship, with Israel in the next 16 or 17 days, but also that you would stop anything that might even have a greater detriment upon the nation of Israel's existence. Father, we know that you are the protector of that nation, and we know, dear Lord, that the best is yet to come for that nation. And I do ask and pray that when Donald Trump gets into the White House on the 20th of January, that he will strongly support Israel and do everything that he can to uphold their banner from that White House. And Lord, we'll give you the praise and thanksgiving for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Gary, thank you so much. Friends, 23 hours from now, join us again on our next installment, Into Truth, on Stand in the Gap Today. This has been Dave Kissler and Gary Dull. Hope you have a blessed and spirit-filled day.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. we seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Broadcasting live from historic West Norriton Township, this is AM 1180.